that I think we just all need to be a little more expectant and eager for the Holy Spirit to wipe away the old and let us fully move into this new day of the Spirit. Our times together, instead of, I think, in the past or how we've been conditioned by the church age, we call it services. But more and more as we experience the kingdom of God, we're going to just see it as times of connection, whether it be one-on-one, or as Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in your midst, or a larger congregational setting. It doesn't matter. Times where we come together and we connect with each other in the presence of the Lord. And what I felt this morning is it's just going to be, you know, when people do that, and without in their thinking having that overload of what a service needs to be and all the different parts, it's a very simple thing of, Lord, thy will be done, and just letting the presence of God manifest and do what he wants done. That's the meeting. And if you watch the way Jesus walked and those that followed him before it became churchy, that's what they did. They just walked and the presence of God would speak a word. The presence of God would heal someone or deliver someone. It was just an ongoing expression of the will of God through his presence. We're going to become more aware of his presence. And I think it's going to become that simple. I think a lot of the agenda that we've carried in our thinking that's very religious is going to melt away. And we're just going to have such a joy of when we connect, let the presence of God do what God wants done. And what else is there beyond that? Really nothing. We can add a lot of things, but that's all we really care about. And I was thinking back, and I'll stop in just a minute here, when I started out back in my late teens in the Ludwig, Fred and Joanne's living room, and the meetings we had, we really didn't know how to do services. So we would come together, and it was just such a special time in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because, again, we didn't know how to do services. We didn't have instruments, which I'm very thankful for. But everyone was just expectant of the presence of God's going to be real and things are going to happen because God's moving. And I thought, well, there was something very kingdom about that, very much of the age we're coming into. And I'm not trying to go back in the past, but I think that part's going to be restored, where we just come together. That waiting on the Lord is not just some mechanic of meditating. It's that expectancy of, we have the presence of God within us. What can happen here? What's God want to do in our midst? So, I don't know, this was just coming to me during the worship today. I just felt such an anointing. And just, Lord, loose us from old ways of thinking, the old mindset that tries to put God in little boxes. We have this service and we want God to do this, that, and the other. And let's be freed. It's like the Israelites. One of our best examples of this is from the Old Testament. As Moses was leading them through the wilderness, what did God say? My presence will go before you and I'll give you rest. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't go before us, we don't want to go anywhere. It was all about the presence of God. Psalm 44 talks about the light of his presence. And really, any steps we take, anything that's accomplished, when you see it from the perspective of the kingdom, it can only be accomplished by his presence. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We're coming into a day where I think it's going to be so simplified, yet there's going to be such a deep and acute awareness of the presence of the Lord emanating from our lives. And so many more, you know, there's great things happening today, but I think we're just seeing the beginning of the real fruit of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit's going to be manifest. And when our minds can be captured by that simple focus of, Lord, let your Spirit and presence be real. That's all that matters. So be it. Joanna?
Sweeping the whole world, and then there'll be a time where this is why we need to have the faith, and just have the faith for the miracles to be in America too, and
right,
for God to do what he's doing. We had a wonderful time that you were just there for that moment.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Catherine, so good to see you all the way from Ireland. So there's a spirit that we go back to those early days, and I know so much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh. Well, this morning's word is really, really simple. I just want to say the last two words on, what were those about? Yeah, the weaning. What a fantastic series, those two tapes. I think we'd all do well to listen to that pair over and over again. Well, it's been about 6 or 7 weeks since I've seen most of you, and I think I've been in that process too. You know, as the Spirit moves in our lives, it's disruptive to the status quo. And I think my life has been in a blender. Yeah. Yeah, what's red and white goes 100 miles per hour? Terry in a blender. But, you know, I closed my shop for 3 weeks, and I was there every day during that 3 weeks, overhauling the accounting, the repair structure, and employment structure for my people. So it's just been a wild ride, and I'm just so excited. I can't tell you when I've been more excited about a year. I think 07 is fantastic. It's not without pain, but I love it. So that's, I don't know what kind of introduction that is. But I would like us to look at the parable of the sower. This has just been burning in me. And it's in a few different places, but we'll look at the one in Luke 8, if we could. And I saw something so fantastic about this. It starts on verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. I believe that these are conditions of the heart. Yeah, we can all accept that. I think each person has all these conditions. You know, I think in the past we've looked at it, well, I want to be the good soil. Well, of course. Of course we do. But we all have all these conditions. First of all, why would the farmer sow seed on the path anyhow? You know? Why would he throw it on the rocky soil? Wouldn't he just find the good soil and put it there? This shows a lot about the heart of God. He doesn't discriminate. You know, his love just flows out like a flood. In the shallow areas, the deep areas, the hardened areas, it's there. Now, let's talk about these conditions of the heart. The path. Okay? The path is our present reality. That's characterized by our routines, our prejudices, our opinions. It's hardened. It's the way we walk on a daily basis.
So it's not open. It's kind of calloused. And then we come to the rocky soil. That's our past. Why? Well, because that's unresolved issues, hurts, past traumas. They don't show up. See, it's shallow soil over the rocks, but they're there. The seed springs up, but there's no root because of the unresolved issues. God wants us to allow him to pull the rocks out. And you know, you can't pull a rock out from the top, right? You ever tried getting a big rock out? You got to dig underneath the thing. And you got to kind of lift it from underneath. Well, that's kind of associated with a little bit of hurt. You know, you got to dig. It's just like when they take out a tumor or something in your body. They cut wide to get that out. They take flesh, good flesh with it to make sure they got it all. It's just like that. What about the thorny? The area where it's probably good soil, but the thorns grew up with the seed and choked it out. Well, that's our future. See, the thorns are, you know, that's an area where we're distracted or overextended. We're busy. That's a common problem this day and age. You know, people are doing 10 things at once and none of them very well. You can tell, you know, I received two gift cards in the last couple of weeks. They were both Starbucks gift cards. What does that tell you about our society? That stuff is so over-caffeinated, it's not even funny. I don't even drink it. Listen to the word. So, what does it say about the thorns? I love this, verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And look at the last part. And they do not mature. Isn't that what the weaning is all about? Maturing. So the future is affected by our choices right now. What we indulge in. What we think about. So we have past, present, and future in this. And all of us have each one of these scenarios. I'm not even going to talk about the good soil. It's self-explanatory. You know, being a goldsmith, I think about precious metals a lot. I mean, that's my thing. And it's amazing how many references to gold and silver there are in the Bible. Now, they didn't know about platinum because that wasn't discovered until 1850. But there's talk about gold refined in fire and so forth. Well, gold doesn't just purify itself because you heat it up. You know, gold is inert. It means it's not reactive. Okay? You know, pure gold doesn't oxidize. It doesn't dissolve in very many substances. But then there's other metals that are very reactive, right? Like copper and lead and aluminum, all those things. Well, a very, very old way to refine gold, and I saw this is how God works with us. You heat up the gold and you make it molten, and you take a very volatile metal, such as lead, and you throw it into the molten gold. Now, what does that do, you ask? Well, it poisons the atmosphere, for one thing, but they didn't know about that before. What it does is the volatile nature of that lead grabs a hold of the impurities in the gold and makes them vaporize. It pulls them out. And you keep doing that, and eventually you have pure gold. And listen to me. This is what's happening in our lives in the weaning process. We have stuff happen to us. Situations, accidents, people that trip us up. These are volatile situations that are dragging the impurities out of us. See, they come to the surface and they're blown off. So cooperate with everything God's doing. We can't afford to walk through life and make judgments, oh, this is God and that's not God. That's pride, brethren. I want God to surprise me. I don't know what he's doing. I just know he is. And I want to find him in every situation that happens to me. There's so many situations to see him in. Every moment you breathe. This is just a little test tube here. This isn't the spiritual life. It's out there. It's interacting with people that aren't aware of him and interacting with people who are aware of him. It's fantastic, and we're becoming more aware too. Sometimes we're aware, sometimes we're not. It's all good. You know, there was a couple of times, you know, you read about Moses, you know, when he was leading the Israelites through the wilderness, and there was one time God said, strike the rock with your staff and water will flow out, because they were complaining that they didn't have water. And when he walked up to the Red Sea, he struck the Red Sea and it parted. So this staff was, you know, it was kind of like a weapon, you know, but he was using it. God told him to strike stuff. Then another time they were complaining, and God didn't say strike with the staff. But Moses was angry at the Israelites, and he walked over to the rock, and God said to him, speak to the rock in the presence of the Israelites. And he went over and hit the rock twice with the staff. And that's why he didn't go into the promised land. He didn't represent God very well. Let's not get so used to his acts that we think they're going to be all the same. Let's learn his ways. His ways are ways of the heart. Surprise me, God. That should be our cry every day. Surprise me. Do something so off the wall that it sneaks up and bites me from behind. Now that's living on the edge. That's the kind of life I want to live. We're open to him in every possible way. We don't need to be guarded. He is the wall of fire around us. We have no need to cover up. I think we must think that we're keeping him interested in us by doing this so sort of striptease, you know. We're exposing a little bit of ourselves, a little more each day. I don't know. Thank you. Thinking about the statement that we really don't know what is God, what is not God, even with as much discernment as we've developed,
I think that's very humbling to admit how much you can miss God in any given day. And one of the problems we have is we've been so set and conditioned in the natural to avoid pain. I mean, it runs very deep with this. I mean, who enjoys pain? And so when we go through things, we're evaluating if it's painful, it's not God, I got to pray it away. If it's God, it's got to make me feel good. And that really has disrupted our awareness of God moving in our lives, because often it is painful, and we need eyes to see when God is laying the axe to the root of the tree, when maybe we're going through something painful, he's coming through a circumstance that we'd rather avoid. We need to be able to see, well, what is this working in me? Father, what are you looking for? And be more aware of the changes that are taking place. And I think we're going to develop a greater perception to see a lot of the disruption that we've tried to avoid is actually God working in our lives and bringing us into maturity, into a better place. So we receive...
It says through trials and tribulations we are made perfect.
Yeah.
Not a pleasant thing to contemplate sometimes.
Well, I don't mind trials and tribulations. It's the pain that goes along with them that I don't like. So, but that's part of the problem. Yeah, painless trials.
Will you endure my trials and tribulations then, if you don't mind them?
I can have those Starbucks cards, I'll take them. Lord, bless the word to our hearts today. We receive, Lord, the revelation and just the awareness that comes through these words of spirit and in life. And as your seed is being planted in our heart, you're speaking to our lives every day. May we be aware of the process of the seed falling on the different types of soil and what it means. And beyond everything else, be aware of your intent of love toward us. That in disrupting our life, you're only doing that to heal us, to bless us, to bring us forth in maturity. And Lord, that's what we want.
Yes.
Amen.